Blog Talk Radio.
Like a small boat on the ocean, sending big waves into motion, like how a single word can make a heart open. I might only have one match, but I can make an explosion. And all those things I didn't say were wrecking balls inside my brain. I will scream loud today. Can you hear my voice this time? This is my fight song. Take back my life song. Prove I'm alright song. My power turned on. Starting right now, I'll be gone. I'll play my fight song.
This is Furl with Merle, and I'm your host, Merle Exit. Well, let's see, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon here in New York City, and it's sweltering hot. Yep, we have another heat wave. How hot is it? Well, let's put it this way. It's so hot that the buds on my basil have turned into cactus pears. Okay, so, but we'll cool it off by having a talk with Andrew Douglas, who is a former owner of the New York Sharks. Oh, wait a minute. That was Esther and Eunice. I know you're there, Andrew. Hang on. They just wanted to thank you for the good time that they had at the ring ceremony. And what? What else? they wanted to know why they didn't get a ring. I'll talk to them afterwards. But right okay. Now, Andrew, you're on the air.
Hello, Merle. How are you?
Okay.
Well, Esther and Eunice, I don't know that they make them small enough for little chicken fingers.
Oh, is that? Is that the,
they have to
well,
wear it around their chicken necks.
This is true. And they already have a tag around their neck from the Twisted Oak Winery. So let's begin by having you tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I guess for the last 20 years of my life, I've owned and operated the New York Sharks women's pro football team. And last year I sold them. And so retirement's feeling a little mixed emotions, like an emptiness. And at the same time, I love the time I have right now to do other things.
Oh, that's great. And I understand that, well, let's see, you've gone from, football to ownership to being an artist, and now this is your first time being an author?
Of a book, yes, absolutely it is. I'm very excited that I finally got this book done. The name of it is Black and Blue. And it's loosely based on my experience with the New York Sharks, and but more than that, it's all about growing up as a girl, being told no, you can't, all these societal discriminations against women, and all I wanted to do was play football. So how ironic that I ended up in New York City and found this football team and purchased it, and the Sharks went on to win 2 national titles, but the book focuses mostly on the first one, which was in 2002.
Oh, okay. So we'll never know what happens after then. We'll have to have a sequel.
Well, I'll have to write another
book.
One.
Yeah. When did you start writing the book?
Wow. I started collecting things, and by things, I mean, you know, something funny would happen, I'd write it down, something interesting, something special, an event, a place we went. I started writing things down and throwing them into these tubs. And by the time I sat down a couple of years ago to lace everything together, I bet it was 25 years of, you know, just putting things in tubs.
Now that you're finished, are the tubs empty, by the way?
Yes, thank God. I couldn't wait to get them out of my house. So, yes, the tubs are empty. However, I'm already filling up new ones because I do want to write another one. And the next one I wanted to encompass the, you know, up through the sale of the team last year and how we won the second national title and then went to England and won that. It was a very, very special year for many reasons.
Yeah, it certainly was. So let's get into, like, in terms of the book itself, I understand it's loosely based, so it's kind of like in terms of, the basic facts are there, but you change the names to protect the innocent. Is that the encompass the names?
I mean, the names are changed, but there's not really one person that's all of that person. Characters are combined. Time sequence is not correct. Stories are. There are stories in there that happened all the way up until last year that I intertwine into the previous years. So it's loosely based, but certainly not exact.
Okay. Kind of give us an idea of, like, you know, what was it like trying to get into football?
Well, it kind of fell in my lap, to tell you the truth. I was a flag player. We played on a I played on a flag team.
Well, this is when you came to New York, you mean?
Yes,
okay.
And the flag team, that's the team that turned into the tackle team. And I certainly had no intention to buy a team. But when the league started in 2000, there were 11 franchises, and each one had to have an owner, quote unquote, to be entered into the league. And no one purchased us, so I ended up at the last minute purchasing the franchise, basically just so we could all play. I mean, we all wanted to play, and, you know, once again, no, you can't play. And it was like, yes, we can. We're gonna. Here's the money. Let's go. So that's how it kind of happened.
And you, like, you had already a job, a career at the time. What was that?
Yes. I was, at the time, I believe I was still at Time Warner, Atlantic Records, Warner Vision Entertainment, and I was VP Creative, which was, I loved that job. It was a great job. It was in the entertainment field. We did all kinds of packaging and advertising for clients like Jane Fonda and the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. And I worked in LA a lot. I really loved it. But the division that I was in moved to LA, and I chose to stay in New York. So honestly, I never really found a job that I cared for after that, and it just kind of segued into I did freelance and had a couple of clients that I really enjoyed, Disney, Macy's, Tommy Boy Records, just had a bunch of those type of clients in the entertainment field. And then when I got the Sharks, it eventually became, you know, it's a full-time job. Fortunately, I had clients that paid for them,
but
it's a lot of time. But, you know, it was a labor of love. I loved doing it, and we had a lot of successes. you know, did it make money? No. But was it successful in other ways? Absolutely. Probably one of the most successful women's teams ever. And I'm very proud of that and all the staff and the players that were a part of it.
So for how many years did you actually, you were a quarterback at first?
Val Halesworth was our main quarterback. I backed up Val. But I played quarterback for, 99 to 2005. Yeah, I retired in 2005.
And did you do that because you thought you were not fit enough for or tired of getting sacked?
I was 40 when I bought the team, so it's not like I was in my athletic prime. I did it just because I wanted to get out there while I could still, do it. But I certainly wasn't in my prime to play women's tackle football. I did it. And I loved every minute, but I knew it was time to go when I saw the ground coming. I'm like, oh, this is going to hurt. And I was like, okay, I got to go. So that's when I left.
Yeah. All right, so let's go into what is do you have any, like, favorite part of the book?
I don't know what – my favorite parts of the book are the humorous parts. I mean, it's a very – I'm sure all the teams are – any sports team that I've ever been on has its humor. But this one, to me, was very comical. It just had such an array of people and players that came in and out of the doors through the 20 years. And I really enjoyed writing about that and – the things that they would say or do and the antics that, it was just, I enjoy the humor. So I would have to say the humorous parts.
Were there any particular ones that you will remember always because of the humor? Or some of the silliest or funniest?
Gosh, there were so many of them. One of the ones that I cracks me up is when we blew customs at the Canadian border. And we didn't do it intentionally, but there was no one. It was very late at night. We were coming back from Montreal, and we pulled up to the window there, that little booth, and there was no one in it. And we waited, and we waited, and we waited, and I got out and, looked around, tried to find someone, and the Sharks were getting impatient on the bus. They played a game. They were hungry. It was late. We had a, 5 hour, 7 hour drive, whatever it was. And they were all shouting, just go, just go, just go. So I got on the bus and told the bus driver to floor it, and he did. And we were about 10 miles, and I thought, oh, wow, okay, I guess we're going to get away with it. And then Courtney saw the lights of the cop car behind us, and they flagged us down, and the Sharks, they just got the biggest kick out of that. They thought that was just great to be pulled over by the cops, the Border Patrol. But, most of the things you had to be there, but it's just, they're just amusing. They're just funny women from all walks of life, and you throw them together and you get a lot of humor, a lot.
Which you probably also got. So you did, I don't know how long you would do. You were doing t-shirts each year of things that people said.
Yes, that's one of, we had so many traditions, and that was one of them. And it started in 2002. That was the first year. And we made a t-shirt all season long. I would say, okay, anyone who has anything, something they funny they remember, a special event, somewhere we went, something that just means something to you, send it to me. And I would create the back of the t-shirt and had all of these little sayings on it. And most of them were inside jokes. And then at the end, at the banquet, I would read them all. And, of course, we all knew exactly what we were talking about, so it was hilarious to us. And so, yeah, I have every single one of those shirts. And I actually sent them to a friend of mine who made a big quilt out of it, front and back. It took that many. It took
really?
The front and back of the quilt. Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome. I just, one of my most cherished possessions is that quilt with all the shirts on it.
Oh, that's really cool. Well, getting back to the book, what was the thing that made the most impression on you, or like the fight, so to speak, to get through, to get to the point of even playing football?
You mean in the book?
Yeah, and when in terms of the book itself, when you talk about like, you know, as you grew up, and you know, what kind of battles did you have to fight just to play? And I understand you also played rugby.
Yes, I played rugby at Florida State, 2-time national champions. But I really loved rugby, and I met some fantastic friends that I still have today. But I only played rugby because there was no football.
Right, that's what I figured. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a great game. I really, really enjoyed it. But you know, if I'd have my choice. But I mean, I guess the main battle when I was little is just, you know, I didn't play football. That was the battle. I couldn't. You know, I'd play in the afternoon with the boys. We'd get, you know, street football wherever we could. I was better than most of the boys. But, you know, I wasn't allowed on the high school team. I wasn't allowed on the peewee teams. I wasn't, you know, no, you're a girl. And so that was frustrating.
In both doing that and also when you played rugby, were you, I guess if you want to say quarterbacking, was that your best, you know, position? Or did you have other kind of positions you did do that you were able to do?
Well, in rugby, there's not really a quarterback per se. But no, I was very fast. I could run like the wind. I got my dad's long legs, and he was very fast too. He was one of the top speedsters. He was in the Air Force, and he was quite an athlete. But I ran even in college when I played flag football. I was the running back, and we built the whole team around sweep left and sweep right because no one could catch me. And then, you know, as I kept playing, it's difficult. Even today, it's difficult to find a woman who can really handle the ball like a quarterback. So as I would go to other teams, it just became apparent that I needed to be quarterback because there weren't that many that could throw the ball and throw it well. And although I was never very big, I didn't really have a long ball, but I was very accurate. So it just kind of happened that I went to quarterback, but my first love was to run.
Okay. So so now what happens is now you're in New York, you started with the flag. You wound up, I recall that you played you were challenged to a tackle with a tackle football team, and that's how that, where you wound up learning, you know, getting to play tackle.
Yeah.
With the Dixons.
Yeah, I played on a flag team called the Long Island Sharks, and there were these three guys out in Minnesota that decided to form two teams and travel around the country. Well, actually around the Midwest, not the country, playing tackle football. And when they heard about the Sharks and how good we were at flag, they actually challenged our flag team to a tackle game, and they sent us pads and helmets. They found us a coach. Bobby Jackson of the Jets was our coach, and we played in this game in December of 1999. They came from Minnesota, and we played out on Long Island, and we beat them 12-6. So, and then the next year, that's when the WPFL began, and that's when you had to have an owner and, you know, what I was explaining earlier. Yeah.
That's cool. And you lasted for like 20 years, right?
Yeah, 20 seasons. 19 years, 20 seasons. There was 1 year that we switched leagues, so we actually played – we played football all year long, which didn't bother us, but we played 2 full seasons in one year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't remember what year that was, but we loved it, though.
Oh, that's good. And I think the longest player was Molly, the longest player, by the way, like in terms of the amount of years playing.
Yeah, she probably was. I know Wanda Williams was right up there. And, Darlene Hall, she's still playing. So I think Blue has got everybody beat because she came to us in the year, was 2000 or 2001, one of those. And she has played, I believe, every season since. So Blue probably has the others beat by a few years.
Oh, okay. Then remember there was someone named Green, too, with green hair some years back.
Yeah, there was Green, and then there was Red, too. We had someone with red hair. We called her Red, okay. And then we had Green. She had green hair and blue because she had blue hair.
Yeah.
All different nicknames.
Everybody had a lot of them had nicknames.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, most of them had nicknames. If they didn't have one when they came, they left with one.
Yeah. Did you ever have a nickname?
Great White. They still to this day they call me Great White.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Because of the shark.
Because of the shark. Yeah, as the head of the sharks, the Great White. So.
Okay, so to get back again with the book. So you at what point did you? Like, sit down. I mean, what occurred that you said, okay, this is going to be done? Did you approach a publisher, or did a publisher approach you?
I self-published. I have found in, like everything in women's sports, it's very difficult to sell women in sports, whether it's a book, a sponsorship, anything. You know, I that may be changing a little bit. I don't know, but a couple agents went out a little bit and tried to sell the book and didn't have much luck. But I just decided to self-publish, and so that's how it came about.
Oh, so in other words, the person that I'm getting PR from is the publicist. So you have a publicist versus, okay.
Yeah, not an agent. An agent is very different.
Okay, so, and the publicist is now responsible for, I mean, does this person, well, he or she, so you could just, she?
She, uh-huh.
Okay, so does she set up like where you're going to do book signings or... where to send out the press releases, et cetera.
Right, yes. She contacts newspapers and radio shows and TV and whatever else she feels is appropriate for the book and then, tries to get publicity for it.
Does that allow you, if you want to do the same?
Yeah, I'm sure I could. But, I mean,
I was curious. I mean, if So in other words, if I said to you, for instance, okay, I'm going to write an article and whatever, I don't have to go through the publicist, I can kind of go ahead and do it.
Well, I would let her know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, just like talking on this radio show.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I can do that. But she likes to, she's very good at positioning the book. So I would run anything past her.
So do you have any sense of like where you would like to like do a book signing? You know, it's very difficult these days because, you know, it used to be Barnes and Nobles was the thing, and now the bookstores have gone down the drain, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's you know, it's and that makes that difficult. So where, or does she have any ideas? Because I wouldn't even know myself.
Yeah, I don't really know. I understand book signings really aren't that popular anymore, so I just couldn't tell you.
So how do you, like, how do you sell the book?
Well, it's on
I mean,
Amazon.
You're not going to stand out on the street and sell it, right?
No, it's on Amazon. It's on Barnes & Noble. You know, if anyone Googles, the title, again, is Black and Blue, and then the subtitle is Love, Sports, and the Art of Empowerment. So
okay.
You can buy a copy on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. But
and is it also, like, available on, I guess, what is it, the e-whatever? Like, in
no,
other words,
it's not
you
an
can,
e-book.
I mean, you can't
no.
get it as an e-book. Okay.
No,
that's,
no it's not available.
That's good.
yes.
Well, it's good because, you know, I don't really understand trying to read a book staring at a computer. I need to turn the pages.
Yeah, I kind of like that too.
Yeah, that's part of the word book.
Yeah, I prefer to hold it in my hand and turn the pages, but you know, I guess different generations.
So now that I also want to talk to you about your I might as well throw this in about your being an artist.
Yes, and in fact, much of my art centers around the players, women football players, not just the Sharks, but all the teams. But it's not just about football. My art, I have several series. One of them is landscapes. One of them is about the football players. And then there's another one that's it's a kind of an abstract series, but it focuses on flowers and colors in nature. That's actually
yeah, and then when did you start? When did you start doing art? When did that come about?
Well, I've always been an artist, but you know, when you're out in the world doing the 9-to-5 thing, you don't get much time to do that. So it hasn't been maybe the past 5 years that I really got back into doing more, painting as opposed to design.
And do you paint acrylic, watercolors, any particular?
Mixed media, but a lot of oils. I love pencils. There's most of the artwork has everything. Everything. I like to tease, you know, I do everything but throw eggs at it. It's got oils, pencils, watercolor, shoe polish, wax.
Wow.
Crayons. Yeah, I've got all kinds. I use all kinds of things. Just whatever I can get those colors with, I use it.
Well, that's quite interesting. I've never seen a piece, you know, other than like go online and look at them. I don't think I've ever seen your artwork. Other than you were taking from a ceiling.
Ceiling tins. Yeah, the ceiling tins.
Yes.
Yeah, I did do work on those quite some time ago. Uh-huh. I haven't done that in a long time, though. It seems like everyone started doing it. So you got to zig when everyone zags. So I started doing other things.
Okay. I know that because I have one of your pieces in my house.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Yep.
But in terms of like at what age did you say, I feel like drawing? I mean, did you start doing that when you were 5 years old, or was it something like,
No.
Or is it part of like as you were designing?
No, it was, I started drawing when I was little, and my mom noticed that I was pretty good at it, so she got art lessons for me. And ultimately, that's what my major was when I went to college. I went into design because there's usually, fields where you can earn a living in design easier than you can with fine art.
So
I went that direction. Mm-hmm.
So now now that the book is over, now that the sharks are over, are you going to focus even more on your art right now?
I hope to, yes. Yeah. I'd like to get into that, and like I said, I really do want to start a second book. I thoroughly enjoyed, writing the first one, and I had no idea what I was doing. I just sat down and wrote it, so it was painful at times trying to figure out what the heck I was doing, but now that I've written one, I kind of have it a little bit better figured out, so it won't be quite as difficult to figure out the second one.
Did you have anybody like do the editing, or do you just, not in terms of you made a spelling error, that kind of a thing, but content wise?
A proofreader. Well, I had, I hired an editor to just look it over and make sure that it made sense. So yes, I hired an editor, and then also after that was done, I hired a proofreader because I'm not the best, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, I kind of understand that. I don't have anybody when I write the articles. There isn't anybody looking at it to say you made a mistake.
Right. Yeah.
So I have to keep going over, and thank goodness I'm sent the proof before it goes into the paper so I can look it over and say, oh, there's a mistake over there. Change that, please.
Yeah.
It's like when you write, you think it's all correct, right?
Yeah, I know. But, well, and plus you stare at it so long, you miss so many things. I mean, it's just... If you're just, it's hard.
So for you, what would determine the success of the book?
Just getting it out to me is a success. it's kind of like purging yourself when you have something. I mean, you're a writer, that you have something that you think about, and finally when it's out on paper and it's like, God, that's done. So in my mind, just the fact that I got it out on paper and it's out, that's a success. Of course, would I love to be on New York Times bestseller? Of course, but that's doubtful, but never say never.
You never know what people want to read.
You just never know. Uh-uh. I know. So, I'm just pleased that I finished it.
That's great. Well, we'll see what we can do maybe to set up Well, if you, you know, get some ideas of, other than the street corners, to sell them,
yeah,
or online, we can, you know, come up with some interesting things. And you know me.
Right. Right.
You just never know what I'm going to do.
I know. That is true.
And most of the time, I've even said, here's what I'm going to do, Andra. As opposed to, here's what I did, Andra.
Right.
And you're going, you did what?
Well, you've done some great things for the Sharks, that's for sure.
I have to tell you, there were challenges for me. It was a kind of thing of, here's a worst case scenario, is somebody says no. And I thought, well, that's the worst case. But I thought,
yeah,
I'll get it around. I'll get around to doing it, and they'll say yes, so it's okay. But
yeah,
I know you just laughed at the one about getting the Sharks and the first team on Broadway.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I have to tell you,
a lot of firsts.
Every time I think of that, you know what I picture? Not necessarily my singing, dancing queen, but, and I can't remember her name. She's the one on the team, and she was a nurse.
Shauna Seegers.
And in the middle of doing this thing on the stage, she took her pulse to me.
Yeah,
that's all I remember.
Shauna was always laughing about you singing Dancing Queen. That's why I think it was Shauna.
Yes. Well, for a long time I had it as the opening thing on my radio show. Now I close with it.
Ah, okay.
I finally decided I wanted to change the fight song. But anyway, so, I guess we'll continue with at some point with your adventures. And so you said, so right now you can get it on Amazon
Barnes and Noble.
Barnes and Nobles.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Black
well,
and
that's,
Blue,
that's,
Love, Sports, and the Art of Empowerment.
Okay, so now that you did it, do you feel more empowered for doing it, for writing?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes, it's another story that needed to be told. It's part of the battle.
Yeah, it certainly is. The thing that I have to tell you, the little bit of annoyance that had happened was when the soccer team was getting the parade. And I kept looking at that and going, well, how come the Sharks never got a parade?
I know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I can't make it. I gave up on that one. All right. So, is there anything else that you want to add or say or... other than buy my book?
Yeah, well, definitely buy my book. You can check out my artwork at andradouglasart.com and find the book on Amazon and the New York Sharks football.com site is still up. You can see all kinds of things that the Sharks did, and they're quite an amazing team. So check it out.
Okay, we certainly will, and at some point we're also going to talk about wine.
Oh, there you go. Anytime you want.
Okay. Well, okay. It's great having you on the show. And anytime you want to put anything out there, just give me a buzz. What the heck?
Yeah, will do, Merle. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Pleasure being
on. By the way, I also wanted to ask you, are you doing photos too?
You mean just photography in general?
Yeah.
A lot of my artwork starts from photography, but not just straight photography, no.
Okay. I'll have to call you about that. I have something else in mind. You know me.
Okay.
Something up my sleeve.
No.
All right, have a great day.
All right, Merle, thanks so much.
You're welcome. Take it easy.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, so that was really great. So, yes, we're going to put the information on, and, I'm going to end the show. And, of course, I have to end the show with, the song that sort of made me famous with the Sharks. So everybody have a great day, have a great evening, afternoon, whenever it is that you're going to listen to the show. Well, the chickens had their say.